and Athena came as well, to attend her sacred rites. The old horseman passed the gold to the smith, and twining the foil, he sheathed the heifer's horns, so the goddess's eyes might dazzle, delighted with the gift. Next, Stratius and Echephron led the beast by the horns. Aretas, coming up from the storeroom, brought them lustral water, filling a flower-braided bowl, in his other hand the barley in a basket. Thrasymedes, staunch in combat, stood ready, whetted axe in his grasp, to cut the heifer down, and Perseus held the basin for the blood. Now Nestor, the old charioteer, began the rite. Pouring the lustral water, scattering barley meal, he lifted up his ardent prayers to Pallas Athena, launching the sacrifice, flinging onto the fire the first tufts of hair from the victim's head. Prayers said, the scattering barley strewn, suddenly Nestor's son, impetuous Thrasymedes, strode up close and struck. The axe chopped the neck tendons through, and the blow stunned the heifer's strength. The women shrilled their cry. Nestor's daughters, son's wives, and his own loyal wife, Eurydice, Clymenus's eldest daughter. Then hoisting up the victim's head from the trampled earth, they held her fast as the captain of men, Pisistratus, slashed her throat. Dark blood gushed forth. Life ebbed from her limbs. They quartered her quickly, cut the thigh bones out, and all according to custom wrapped them round in fat. A double fold sliced clean and topped with strips of flesh. And the old king burned these over dried split wood, and over the fire poured out glistening wine, while young men at his side held five-pronged forks. Once they'd burned the bones and tasted the organs, they sliced the rest into pieces, spitted them on skewers, and raising points to the fire, broiled all the meats. During the ritual, lovely Polycaste, youngest daughter of Nestor, Neleus's son, had bathed Telemachus. Rinsing him off now, rubbing him down with oil, she drew a shirt and handsome cape around him. Out of his bath he stepped, glowing like a god, strode in and sat by the old commander, Nestor. They roasted the prime cuts, pulled them off the spits, and sat down to the feast while ready stewards saw to rounds of wine and kept the gold cups flowing. When they'd put aside desire for food and drink, Nestor, the noble chariot driver, issued orders. Hurry, my boys! Bring Telemachus his horses, a good full-maned team. Hitch them to a chariot. He must be off at once. They listened closely, snapped to his commands, and hitched a rapid team to a chariot's yoke in haste. A housekeeper stowed some bread and wine aboard, and meats too, food fit for the sons of kings. Telemachus vaulted onto the splendid chariot. Right beside him, Nestor's son Pisistratus, captain of armies, boarded, seized the reins, whipped the team to a run, and on the horses flew, holding nothing back, out into open country, leaving the heights of Pylos fading in their trail, shaking the yoke across their shoulders all day long. The sun sank, and the roads of the world grew dark as they reached Phera, pulling up to Diocles's halls, the son of Autilicus, son of the Alpheus River. He gave them a royal welcome. There they slept the night. When young Dawn with her rose-red fingers shone once more, they yoked their pair again, mounted the blazoned car, and out through the gates and echoing colonnade, they whipped the team to a run, and on they flew, holding nothing back, and the princes reached the wheatlands, straining now for journey's end. So fast those purebred stallions raced them on, as the sun sank and the roads of the world grew dark. Book 4. The King and Queen of Sparta. At last they gained the ravines of Lacedaemon, ringed by hills, and drove up to the halls of Menelaus in his glory. They found the king inside his palace, celebrating with throngs of kinsmen a double wedding feast for his son and lovely daughter, the princess he was sending on to the son of great Achilles, breaker of armies. Years ago Menelaus vowed. He nodded assent at Troy and pledged her hand, and now the gods were sealing firm the marriage. So he was sending her on her way with team and chariot, north to the Myrmidons' famous city governed by her groom. From Sparta he brought Alector's daughter as the bride for his own full-grown son, the hardy Megaphone.